Israeli planes are reported to have attacked 60 targets today in Gaza as the assault against Hamas increases. Tonight, the Red Cross is also reporting that shelling continued during the three-hour temporary ceasefire. Today, 13 rockets or mortar attacks have landed from the Gaza into Israel. And sources in Palestine say that in total, 920 people have died over the last 18 days in Gaza, including 292 children and 75 women. 13 Israelis have also died. Three of those are civilians. Well, 90 miles from Gaza in Bethlehem tonight, we're going live to a man who is calling for an immediate ceasefire. He is the Archbishop of Liverpool, His Grace, the Most Reverend Patrick Kelly, who joins me live on the line. And I believe, Your Grace, you're standing on a roof looking across Bethlehem. Is that correct?
I am. I'm standing on the roof of the seminary here in Beit Shalah. I'm looking straight across to Bethlehem under the light of a more or less full moon. To my left is the hill which divides us from Jerusalem, just 4 miles away. And I can also see the security wall, the fence in front of me. And if I look over towards to the right, I'd be looking towards the Dead Sea and further to the right, Gaza, which is not that far away.
And your thoughts this evening after spending now, you spent a few days in the Holy Land. What are your thoughts now?
My thoughts are that wherever we've been, everything, every heart, every mind is fixed on Gaza. And this morning, the parish priest, Father Musalam, spoke with us by phone and described the pain, the agony, the fear. And he spoke also of the fact that water was running out, that food, even through the United Nations, was not getting through. And therefore, the voice arising from everybody is that twofold. First of all, there needs to be an end to all the violence at this time. And then secondly, we must make sure that every mind is focused on securing that sort of justice for everybody in this land, that there can be lasting peace.
In your conversations with the parish priest that you mentioned there, Father Manuel Musalam, is he in fear of his own life and the life of his parishioners?
Clearly they must be afraid. But what was shining through was that the concern for everybody he spoke for was for others. That shone through, a selflessness of a wonderful depth, and also the resolution to fix their gaze on establishing a new future.
This is now your 10th visit, I believe, Your Grace, and you are, of course, with other bishops from America and Europe. Is your presence actually going to have any effect?
I think the first effect we've already seen. It's no secret, on a Sunday 10 days ago in the cathedral, I mentioned to the people, I wasn't sure, was it the right time to go? The people said, go. And the sign here is loud and clear. Thank you for coming. We know we're not alone. We know being prayed for. We know people will speak about our situation. And therefore, in a sense, the visit has already borne grapefruit.
We have, of course, and I gave the figures just a moment ago in the introduction, those horrific figures of the number of people who've died, the number of children, the number of women who have died. A lot of people will ask the question, is religion the problem here? Is religion the causes of this terrible crisis that we're seeing?
No, I think it's very clear it isn't. For example, just within the story of Gaza, the Muslims and Christians are suffering together. But at the same time, it is very naive to pretend that religion is not deeply embedded in this land. And therefore, we always say it has to be a home for two peoples and three religions.
And is that possible in your view?
Well, I always say, standing, I'm looking out towards the Church of the Holy Nativity, where the Lord was born. Is it possible for God to become man? Worldly logic says no. This town says yes. The impossible is possible.
Well, Christians, of course, like yourself, do believe that God did become man. But when you look at those figures, a lot of people are going to be asking the question, aren't they? Where is God in the midst of all of this terrible war?
Exactly. And the answer, of course, is the answer which, again, the Christians give. The Lord says, I live in you and you live in me. The answer is in our hearts and our minds. And therefore, again, we are saying with the parish priest of Gaza, the best minds in this world must focus on the needs of this land and establish that justice.
Now, you are seeing, you are hearing at first hand. We spoke to a British member of the European Parliament who went into Gaza just a couple of days ago. We spoke to him yesterday evening. When you return, Archbishop, will you be doing anything practical in terms of, will you be going to visit either the Foreign Secretary or the Prime Minister or any political leaders to talk about your impressions and your views?
That is not our primary duty. Our first duty is to speak, first of all, to the Catholic community and to make sure they're aware of what's happening, but also to encourage them. For one thing they can do is continue to come to this land on pilgrimage. That is a constant call, please come, please visit us. That is laying the foundation for a future.
And your immediate plans, what happens now in your visit?
Tomorrow we're having, well, two sessions, and I'm afraid, I've got to be honest, one's going to be given by me about the understanding of the scriptures. The other by Cardinal Cormac's cousin, Jerome Murphy O'Connor, is going to speak to us about St. Paul and the understanding of this land. And then tomorrow we're going to a parish in Ramallah to celebrate Mass there with the people and eat with them.
And amidst the gloom, do you think there is hope?
Amidst the gloom, we went to the most wonderful wedding on Saturday evening. There was a bride and groom suddenly found as guests at their wedding, a patriarch and seven bishops from across the world. Now there's hope.
Archbishop, thank you very much indeed for joining us live this evening.
Thank you, Rob.